Welcome to The Green on Delaware Public Media. I'm your host, Tom Byrne. Education funding remains a front burner issue in the first state, but how it will be addressed and how quickly remains up in the air. Last year, the state received an independent report recommending it spend from $600 million to $1 billion more annually on education and revamp its education funding system. Earlier this year, lawmakers created the Public Education Funding Commission to examine the report and offer its own recommendations on how to proceed. That group met for the first time last month. And contributor Larry Nightengast reports there are already questions about how quickly it can do its work and provide a path forward. Larry's piece is available at DelawarePublic.org, and he joined me earlier this week to discuss the start of this latest effort to address education funding in Delaware. So let's start with diving in on why this commission was actually created to begin with.
Okay, so let's do a quick history lesson here. Delaware now uses a school funding system that was created in the 1940s, and Delaware's three counties had gone since the 1970s and 1980s without reassessing property values. So, in 2018, a lawsuit was filed, and that lawsuit alleged that inequities in the state school funding system resulted in certain groups of students, low-income children, English learners, and many who are in special education programs, were not receiving an adequate education because of the funding system. Now, that suit was settled in 2020, and one of its outcomes was the property reassessments that are underway now in all three counties. Another outcome was the requirement that the state hire consultants to write what's known as an independent assessment of how it should improve its education funding system. Now, that report was completed last year, and earlier this year, the General Assembly created a commission to consider how to implement the report's recommendations.
So with that in mind, the next question is, who exactly is on this commission to make these decisions?
Well, actually, it might be easier to tell you who isn't on it. But seriously, there are 31 members, and the General Assembly managed to include representatives of just about every stakeholder group imaginable. We've got legislators from both parties, including the chairs of the House and Senate Education Committees. We've got school board members, district and charter school administrators, teachers, counselors, a paraprofessional. Then there are leaders of advocacy groups that support parents of low-income children, special education students, and English learners.
So that group had its first meeting last month. And let's start where the commission started. The independent air report, the independent report you mentioned, that produces a byproduct of the 2020 settlement of the education funding lawsuit against the state. Is the commission looking at that as a blueprint or a starting point for its work?
Yes, that AIR report will be both a starting point and a focal point of the Commission's work, which is supposed to be, and I quote from the resolution, a comprehensive review of public education funding for all students and populations, end quote. The Commission is supposed to study all of the report's recommendations, and those recommendations include spending more money on education, distributing resources according to student needs, implementing a new funding formula, giving districts and charter schools more flexibility in how they spend money, simplifying the funding mechanism for charter schools, and expanding pre-kindergarten programs.
But this isn't just about considering the AIR report. What are some of the other things the commission is tasked with reviewing as part of its work?
Well, correct. Reviewing the AIR report is just a crucial starting point. Whatever the commission comes up with is also supposed to do these things. Support student achievement. Promote recruitment and retention of staff members. Address wealth disparities and inequities among students in both districts and charter schools. And make sure that pay scales that exist now aren't negatively affected by whatever they develop. And whenever the reforms take effect, make sure that no district or charter school gets less money in the first year than what it would have received under the current formulas. There's more, but there's no point in getting too deep into the weeds today.
And with that in mind, let's talk about some of the immediate issues that emerge as the commission is getting started, and kind of one leads to the other. We'll start with the first, which is that it's choosing the direction this commission is going to take with the state funding formula. What's the decision that they've got to make, kind of get this whole ball rolling?
Well, When the commission held its first meetings last week, the consultant who has been hired to guide these sessions used a construction analogy to make it a little bit easier to comprehend. Do we want to build a new house or remodel the one that we have? We're translating, create an entirely new funding formula or make more changes to the one that we've been using for the last 70 years. Now, folks who have been pushing for funding reform advocate building from scratch, using formulas that are based on individual student needs. And this is a path that many other states have taken. But some people prefer keeping the current framework, saying it makes funding more predictable from year to year, but adding more funds to support those students who have the greatest needs.
So this decision and the concern over making it kind of leads to our second issue, which is timing. There is already some concern this group won't be able to deliver its recommendations as required by this time next year, October 2025. So what's fueling those concerns with, you know, actually getting the work done?
Well, first of all, the commission has a schedule now of two-hour meetings once a month for the next year. Now, members are going to have a lot to examine and decide in those meetings, and that's going to mean that they're going to have a lot of homework to do in between each of these monthly sessions. And frankly, they're not sure at the outset whether they're going to be able to get it all done. So now let's circle back to that last question about whether we create a new system or remodel the current one. The consultants were pushing to have the commission make that decision quickly, so that way they would have more time to actually assemble the new system or the remodeled system and move forward with it. But some of the members of the commission pushed back. They said they want to have more time to examine the pros and cons of each approach before they make a decision, because they want to be confident that the path they choose is the correct one before they start working out the details.
And this leads to an issue that we've often heard about before, and that is a lack of urgency. For context, the education law funding lawsuit, as you mentioned, was filed in 2018, settled in 2020, air report delivered a year ago in 2023. Now this commission says it may need more time, more than a year, to get the work done, meaning the recommendations sometime in 2026 perhaps. That means a child in kindergarten when the lawsuit was filed will be on the cusp of high school when the recommendations are delivered, and that would still leave crafting and passing legislation and implementing it. Was there much talk in the first meetings last month about the need for urgency and staying on the timetable?
Well, yeah, what you're saying is right on point. And from some of the things that we heard at the session, you know, it could be even worse. At last week's meetings, the consultants mentioned a couple of states that are now phasing in new funding formulas. And they're doing it so slowly that the full impact of the new systems that they're implementing aren't going to take effect until some kids who weren't born when the changes were made are actually graduating from high school. Kendall Massett from the Delaware Charter Schools Network raised this issue of urgency during the brief public comment period at the end of the session's second meeting. Now, also, if you go back to last year, leaders of the Delaware chapter of the American Civil Liberties Union, which was involved in filing the lawsuit, said that they would be ready to go back into court if the state delayed carrying out the terms of the settlement. We've got some action here, you know, some work in progress. So whether that means they're carrying it out or not, we can discuss at length. But in any case, we've got people who want this issue resolved quickly, and they want significant changes to the funding formulas. And we've also got people who are cautiously saying that we want to do this right and we need more time to do it.
So with all that in mind, the commission meets again in about 10 days. What can we expect from that meeting on determining the next steps?
Well, you know, before that October 14th meeting, the chairs of the General Assembly's education committees, Senator Laura Sturgeon, who is actually the chairman of the commission for this year, and House Representative Kim Williams, who is going to be the chair next year, they've got this odd even years thing written into the resolution. They're going to be talking with Secretary of Education Mark Holodick about the details that would relate to possibly extending the contracts of the consultants that have been hired to guide the commission's meetings. Of course, if the commission thinks it's going to need more time than is spelled out in the legislation, then they're going to need contract extensions to keep this thing going. Now, anyhow, if that's the case, the commission is probably going to spend some time at its October meeting about talking about asking the General Assembly to modify the timelines and the resolution that created the group. And in addition to that, we can expect that this October meeting is going to include a lively discussion about this issue that we've talked about today, whether we're going to build a new formula or remodel the current one.
All this, of course, comes as the general election looms and the state prepares for a new governor. Is that change in administration likely to have an impact on this whole process?
I'm going to say yes, but, you know, the impact here is more likely to come in the form of impressing a sense of urgency on the commission rather than expressing preferences for a specific type of reform. Let me explain that for a moment. Governor Carney, who is soon to become the mayor of Wilmington, pretty much delegated any of the follow-up on the funding assessment report to his Secretary of Education, Mark Holodick. Now, in your interviews with our gubernatorial candidates, Republican Mike Ramone and Democrat Matt Meyer, both of them expressed some support for funding reform. Ramone said that Delaware has, and I quote, the most complicated funding system in the nation. And Meyer said that the unit system that was devised in the 1940s just doesn't make sense in the 21st century. So whoever's going to be elected will be pushing for a change. But the governor's responsible for appointing only two of the 31 commission members. And 18 of the 31 members of that commission are educators or representatives of education groups. In other words, we've got a lot of vested interests involved here. So if our new governor wants to have an impact on this commission's outcome, he's going to have to make his preferences known, loud and clear, and then he's going to have to hope that community influencers who share his views make their views known, make their voices known to the commission, and impress upon the commission the importance of moving in a particular direction.
So as we wrap this up, it's still early in the process, but how do you see this playing out? It's a big question, probably a tough question, but I'll ask it anyway.
Well, and you know from past experience that I tend to be a little bit of a skeptic on these things. My concern here is that, frankly, I see a little bit too much of the old Delaware way tradition at work here. You know, you're putting 31 people in a room and you're expecting them to solve the problem. Now, first of all, in my humble opinion, I think the group might be a little bit too large. Also, the advocates for the kids who have the greatest needs, those low-income English learners, special education students, the number of advocates there are too few, and they're also the least knowledgeable in the area of school finance. The people who know the current system the best are probably, not necessarily, but probably the least likely to want to change it. So, I mean, frankly, I can see this process dragging out for 2 years. I can see it possibly going longer than that, and I can see it resulting in some kind of a hybrid system that looks like reform but doesn't do enough to resolve the inequities that exist today.
Thanks to contributor Larry Nightingale for his time this week. His piece on the Public Education Funding Commission and the future of education funding in Delaware is available at DelawarePublic.org. Next up, we head back to our Candidate Conversations series to hear from the Republican running for insurance commissioner. You're listening to The Green on Delaware Public Media.